Let us lift our hearts in prayer. Holy Spirit, move among us through the words you inspire and the testimonies of our Holy Spirit lives. Move among us and help us remember who we are. Your church, gathered from people of every age and every tribe, every nation, every language, and every culture, and made of one people together in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please join with me in the New Testament reading, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and it can be found on page 1847. Here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer despises a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become a consonant and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into the disgrace, into the devil's trap. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Today we are continuing our sermon series on what it means to be a church member. Today we're going to look at what it means to be a leader, what it means to support leaders, how we can live into that calling that we are all given. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we ask that you would help us to see your model of leadership. One that seeks to be humble, to be generous, hospitable, and loving. Lord, we ask that you would help us to live into that calling. Call us to this noble task, Lord, so that we may give you the glory and raise one another up. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So Anne and I watched this show called The Prophet. It comes on CNBC, and we watch this great show about this businessman named Marcus LeMoy who comes in and saves a struggling business from closing its doors, and he brings his expertise and, most importantly, his checkbook. I know, you're jumping the gun on the leadership. Checkbook. He makes changes. He improves processes. He brings new life to a dying company. And it's pretty incredible, though the last few seasons, Ian and I have agreed, are not as good as the previous seasons. It's still a very good show. You should check it out sometime. But oftentimes, these companies that he chooses to invest in are built around a great idea. That's why he wants to invest in them. They have a great product, or they have a great idea. But what they lack is good leadership. Half the time Marcus goes in here to the company's headquarters, and the bosses are either checked out, not paying attention to the daily grind of the people who are working for them, or they're terrible communicators. They can't communicate with their staff. They don't know what to say. They don't know how to talk to anybody. Or they're just simply afraid to change something that they have suffered for a long time. They can't admit to themselves that they're failing. And Marcus has to come in and say, "Hey, you're failing. Let's get this right." And Marcus spends most of his time and energy on the TV show with the leaders of this company, of these companies, helping them to lead their staff in a way that will inspire, it'll build up, which hopefully results in more profits. If the leaders are healthy, the company will follow. So what I have learned from this show is that you can have the greatest idea in the world, but if you lack the leadership to execute it, it amounts to very little. Leadership can make or break you, and it's true for every institution we have created: businesses, government, schools, churches. And unfortunately, good leadership examples are not as widely known as the bad ones, right? We've all heard the story about the boss who was a bully or a thief, or treated his employees or her employees like second-class citizens. The good ones rarely get the headlines or the gossip around town. And I can't tell you how many stories I have heard about churches that have imploded because they had a lack of leadership as pastors, elders, deacons, and church members themselves. 1 Timothy lays out some pretty strong requirements for leadership in the church, as Landon read for us earlier, which Paul describes as a noble task. Now, there's evidence in this letter that Paul wrote this later in his life. You may have noticed that leadership at that time was very gender specific, right? He, take care of your wife, take care of your family. And that probably was a reflection of the church being very standardized in the culture, kind of reflecting the culture around it at the time. But the words there are pretty interesting, his descriptions. Paul asked for leaders to be more faithful, in control, gentle, not greedy, a good caretaker, a mature Christian with a good reputation in town. Now, at some point with this list, I'm sure many of you who have been elders and deacons in here, you start listening to this list and you start feeling like the disciples who heard the Sermon on the Mount. And you're starting to listen to what Jesus is saying. You go, oh boy, I'm just going to throw my hands up and give up. I am done. There's no way I'm going to live into this, ever. This is too much. How can any of us live into this? And Paul, I mean, it's a great list. I love that list. But let me tell you, it's hard to live into. And yet Paul says, strive. Strive for it. Keep working. So my question for all of us today is, what does it look like for our church to foster good leadership? A leadership that seeks to live into these requirements Paul articulated. What does it mean for us to continue to support the good church culture that builds up rather than tears down? Now, many of you would say, hey, Gray, look at the mirror, bro. Much of this culture starts with you. It starts with the pastor. If you're cold and unwelcoming, the church is going to feel that, right? Gray, if you're a wet noodle and nobody can figure out what you stand for or believe, then the congregation is going to feel adrift. I don't want to be a wet noodle. Gray, if you throw the elders under the bus and don't take any responsibility for decisions, then the members aren't going to trust you. They're not going to follow you. They're not going to listen to you. Now, all of this is true. All of this is true. And I realize that I have a greater influence on the culture of this church than most people in this room do. I understand that. The way I lead, the way I react to crises or different situations make a difference in the life of this church. And I want you all to know that I take that responsibility very seriously. The way I lead, the way I react, I realize that I also have to rely on you as a congregation to hold me accountable for my leadership. Now, many of you have done that. Many of you have said, Gray, I need to talk to you. And I go, okay, let's talk. And we have a conversation. And many of you are so good about that. And I realize that I can't do this on my own. I am not Superman. I am not capable. I rely on every one of you to lead this church. If you think I'm not properly taking care of myself or not taking time with my family, tell me. If I have failed to model good leadership, walk alongside me and offer me some wisdom. I understand that I am a baby at this job. I just turned 36. I don't know if it's possible for a 36-year-old to be a great pastor. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm working on it. But I need all of you to help me. And Mary will tell you, on Monday mornings, I go and say, Mary, how'd things go? How'd things go Sunday? Because I need your wisdom. I need the wisdom that is in this room so that we can lead this church to a place that God has called us. I need you to walk with me. I need you to pray for me. I need you to show me love. But good church culture does not begin and end with the pastor. The most successful churches I have seen are ones that realize they did not need a pastor to be and go about the work of the church. These are the churches I have seen that they realize that the members are the church, not the person that's standing up in front of them every Sunday. These members model the theology that Calvin preached, the priesthood of all believers. There have been a few times in the life of this church in which you all have learned to take responsibility, to be the priesthood of all believers, to step up in difficult times where there was a lack of pastoral leadership. In this way, each of you are leaders of this church. Each of you has an influence. You can spread good or bad gossip. You can support or undercut the work of this church by your actions. You can hear something that you don't like from your pastor, and you can stand up, put your fingers in your ears, and loudly walk out, as Mr. Vandeman did all those many years ago, way back there. Get out of here. Right? You can do those things. Or you can find ways to support, to walk alongside, to share. As member leaders, know that this is Christ's church, that it exists solely to bring glory to God and God's mission in the world. We talked about this last week. Anything that takes away from this mission, anything that demands that the church reflect your own desires or preferences, should be respectfully turned away. Be good stewards of the church. Know one another. Listen to one another. That's what we talked about down here with the kids. Listen to one another. And you may be surprised by the people you share the pews with here in this place. Finally, support the leaders that you elect. Elders, deacons, trustees. Pray for them as you pray for me. They work hard on your behalf and have volunteered their time and energy and keeping this place moving forward in Christ's love. They all receive the same paycheck. Right? Support their work. If they come ask you to serve on a council and committee, think about it. do it. Show up to the events they plan. Buy some food for the sunrise service, right? Support the mission opportunities that they put together. Walk alongside them as they lead. Your collective wisdom is essential to this church to continue to thrive into the future. So remember, each of you in this room is a leader. You have a responsibility. Leaders help themselves and others follow in the way that God has called us. Leaders spread the good news and don't allow fear or anxiety to rule the day. Knowing this truth, let us now recommit ourselves.